Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, the annual layoff immunization, part one of two. Hi everyone, this is Mike, and welcome back to Manager Tools. You know, we've received a lot of comments and email regarding our show regarding the first rule of layoffs. And while our recommendation struck some folks the wrong way, i.e. like finances rule, those who had been laid off told us we were dead, solid, perfect. That always makes us feel good. The fact is, we didn't expect 3 years ago that we'd get such positive responses to our casts and advice on careers and career management. We should have seen it, but we didn't. And you'll learn why in this week's cast. But we are listening, and thus this week's cast. In the same way that finances rule when it comes to being laid off, preparation makes the entire process much, much easier. Both of these recommendations stem from a simple principle. Decisions of import made under pressure are dangerous, sometimes deadly. So this week, our annual layoff immunization guidelines. Here we go. So today, Dr. Mark is going to reach into his medicine cabinet and pull out a pile of medicine.
It's probably a good way to put it, to think of it as an immunization, but I wouldn't call myself Dr. Mark, that's for sure. Craig might disagree, but no.
Most people call you Dr. Mark.
Yeah, that's right. Doctor. Yeah.
Doctor. So we're going to talk about something today that we never did ourselves, did we?
No, we did not.
Okay, so let's stop a second, because generally we're pretty good at eating our own dog food. You know, we connect one-on-ones, you know, we do feedback, we coach, we do all that kind of stuff.
Right, we have good resumes. Yep.
Yep. But this is one of those things that we didn't do. So what right do we have to suggest that folks do this since we didn't do it ourselves?
Yeah. Dang, you always ask the right questions. Because good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. We messed up in not doing this. But luckily for us, there's nothing so exhilarating as being shot at and missed. We didn't do it, and we would have been better off had we, but we didn't.
Well, I guess what I'm really getting at is, why should folks listen to us on this topic if we didn't follow our own recommendations?
Right. Good question. If you need a partner ever, I'm available, because you're really smart. There are three reasons, I think, why in this case we have credibility. Because I think that's the crux of what you're getting at, is credibility, right? If they didn't do it, how are they credible at it?
Yeah.
First, let's be honest. We talk about our experience, but we don't talk about our success that much. And that's as we prefer, but, neither you nor I had normal careers. We regularly outperformed. We were in accelerated career programs. You had senior folks looking at your work. So did I. Senior folks were asking us what we wanted to do, and reaching down to say, we'll take care of you, and so on, and helping us get where we were supposed to be going. You were fairly young for the levels of responsibilities that, MCI, to say nothing of Bell Atlantic or Mobile or the Army, entrusted you with. I was the number one salesperson in my division in the first year I was there. So we did pretty well. That is not a reason not to do this, because there are all kinds of people listening right now and go, well, I'm good. I don't need to do this. And let's be clear about something else though. Manager Tools is not about what we alone have done. Frankly, our experience is by definition limited, and we'd be selling our listeners short if all we did was rely on our first person experience. My consulting experiences could fill a book or two, and probably will. So we're not talking about our experience as managers all the time. We're talking about our experience as managers working with other managers, consultants, coaches, and so on. So again, frankly, our experience is limited to less than the complete amount of managerial experiences that are necessary to make some of the recommendations we make. But lastly, and perhaps most importantly, we have data. We've seen everything we recommend work repeatedly. We have seen hundreds of people, thousands probably, get laid off. We've seen the ones that do well and the ones that don't do well. And there are two primary factors in getting laid off. It's the strength of your performance up until that time. And secondly, your preparation for the layoff. Obviously, we have casts about getting better at your work. And this is a cast about preparation. And we've not just seen these things work. We've seen the absence of preparation and the absence of performance also not work in terms of long periods of unemployment. We know how hard that is on people. And so you can't rely on one. You can't do poorly and just be well prepared. That doesn't work. And you can't just be a top performer and not be prepared, because you never know. You could get a new boss and the boss and you disagree, and then you're in a tight spot, and it's not a function of the things she doesn't know you did a year ago. She just doesn't like you. And as a function of that, you're on the short list when something goes south.
Right.
So hopefully that helped a little bit.
Good. Okay. So back to the medicine analogy here.
Okay.
What we're doing is we're recommending here some basic steps that all of our listeners, all manager tools managers, engage in periodically to protect their careers.
Yep.
We're suggesting that with a little extra effort, not a lot, maybe 15 minutes or so, a day over a couple of weeks.
Right.
They can reduce their career risk noticeably. Like you said earlier, we're talking about immunization here against a potential layoff.
Yes. In much the same way that finances rule if you get laid off, preparation is so critical to handling it if you do get laid off. And we know that thousands of managers basically shoot themselves in the foot for two reasons when they're laid off. First, they don't know how little work it takes to make a huge difference if the axe does fall on them. And secondly, they don't know what to do, even if they did schedule the time to do so. And that's what this cast is really about, the professional part of the layoff preparation equation.
Good. Okay, so let's use that to get right into it.
Okay. This is pretty simple stuff, and yet I would say probably 80% of the people who are listening now haven't done this. Or if they think they've done it, the story they tell themselves is fundamentally false. We're going to disprove some of the stories they're telling themselves. We have five recommendations, and we have metrics to go with each one of them. So it's not just we recommend X, we say, and here's the way you measure whether or not you've done X. The five are: one, a printed contact list. Number two, a printed recruiter's list. Number three, a home individual email list. Number four, home delivery or access to business news. And five, a current resume.
Okay. So those are the five tenets of our annual layoff immunization recommendations. Let's just march right into it and get through them all. First is printed contact lists.
Yeah, if I can, this is just like the switch in healthcare today from curing or diagnosis and treatment to wellness. That's what this is. This is a move up the river, so to speak, upstream toward a place that it takes less work to get more results downstream. Okay?
Good. Good point.
Okay. So printed contact list. Perhaps the most important word in the guidance, printed contact list, is the word printed. Your list being printed here, folks, is a bit like the difference between passive knowledge of a foreign language and active knowledge or active vocabulary. It's the difference between knowing what a word is when you see it. That's passive knowledge. And a lot of people have that for the languages they learned in high school or technical school or what have you. And the difference between that and being able to call upon that word when you need it. And I got to tell you something. Passive knowledge, in other words, understanding what's happening to you and saying, yeah, I remember that, people told me that, and so on, is essentially equivalent to ignorance when it comes to the job search. Because once you don't have a job, once you've been laid off, it's all about your action, your activity, you being assertive about it. And simply knowing what's happening is not enough. To be effective, you have to be active about it.
Yeah. To put it another way, we see managers all the time getting lulled into this false sense of security,
yeah.
this sense of satisfaction that they have by the contact information they have laying around them all over the office.
Yeah,
it's so around them, they're so immersed in it, they take it for granted. And then they're caught off guard when they no longer have access to it.
Yeah, they think, look, shoot, when it comes to contact information, I'm Sherman McCoy. You know, I'm master of the contact universe. I'm surrounded by contacts. I have all the information I could possibly want. I start typing and the magic box completes my every thought about who I'm going to write to. You know, it's like Tom Hanks in Castaway. I have made contacts. You know, I have told many folks that I've met that one of my favorite books about the business world is Disclosure by Michael Crichton. It's the one that was made into a movie starring Michael Douglas and Demi Moore, and Donald Sutherland was in it too. And the book really captures a lot of the subtleties of the business world that so many thrillers, so many books, novels that use as a backdrop a business, usually a large one, where the CEO kills somebody, quite frankly.
Yeah, don't they all?
They just fail to accurately capture the world of business, probably because they weren't written by somebody who had a job at a large or medium-sized corporation. And look, it's worth reading as long as you can see past the screed that he's writing about sexual harassment in the workplace. Anyway, there's a part in the book. And by the way, the movie does a good job, but the book really describes a lot of things that, of course, can't be translated into the movie as well. But there's a part in it where once the scandal happens, Michael Douglas comes to work one day, gets an unusual or threatening email, I don't remember exactly what it is, from an anonymous source, and attempts to use his sysadmin abilities to trace the actual sender. And then he discovers that all of his privileges have been removed. What he took for granted yesterday is now simply yesterday's news. And for him, it's a little bit more than disconcerting. I mean, in fact, he calls his lawyer and so on. And I think I'm pretty sure she says something to the effect of, yeah, I'm no surprise. And my point with that is that happened while he was still working.
Right. Yeah. So, let alone being ushered out of the office, which is
exactly
what often happens. Not always, but what often happens. So folks think they're fine until they lose access at work. And so we're talking about taking some steps to make sure that you don't all of a sudden get marooned on an island with nothing.
Yeah. Everything's fine until you lose access at work. So folks, it's time to start printing out your contact information. We don't care how easy it is now or how easy it will be to log in from home. We don't care what kind of access you think you have. We don't care if you wrote the code for all the contact information in the company. If you don't, you know, or you're certain you won't be denied access, or your boss likes you and so he'll give you a couple of days to gather your stuff around the office. You're going to be denied access. You will be, period.
Yeah, and the worst damage is done to those folks who work just tons of hours.
Yeah.
You know, the dedicated folks, many of them loyals to the company, who don't even bother keeping their contacts in any other place but the Outlook contacts folder at work, you know, on their PC at work.
Yeah, they get tired of using their cell phone to get their friends' numbers, and they enter them right into the company's data stores. And heck, why bother maintaining two sets of data when keeping up with one is hard enough? Look, when I got fired, my bosses denied me access to everything. I asked one of them if she would mind printing out from the company, printing out from the computer all of the birth dates and dress sizes and anniversaries and book preferences of all my brothers and my sisters-in-law and my nephews and nieces. And I was told that would be too burdensome. And look, not that my example is common, but I assumed that folks would be calling the office and they'd be told how they'd get a hold of me. But the owners of the firm started telling everyone they didn't want to have to give out my contact information because they said they didn't want to obligate me to make long-distance phone calls in return because they were worried about my income, my ability to pay my phone bill.
You got to be kidding me.
Which is just – and if you're looking for a way to justify something that maybe wasn't didn't work out right or ended up not being good. That's the kind of things that companies say. Of course, now companies simply say nothing and they stonewall all such questions. It was a little bit comical and it was totally intentional. Yeah. And it wasn't because they disliked me particularly. It was a function of, okay, he doesn't work for us anymore. How do we limit access and availability and those kinds of things? And you just don't expect it because, gosh, why would they lay me off when they're relying on me for so much this week? So,
yeah. And you didn't all of a sudden get smart yesterday. You were smart back then as well. So, again, just more proof that even savvy folks need to be thinking differently about what might happen when a layoff or termination occurs. It pays to have engaged in some simple, basic actions now. Printing out your contacts now is one of them.
Yeah. Okay, let's also address a couple other comments we hear. I hear this all the time. Hey, Mark, I don't need to do that. I have LinkedIn with all my network or contacts there in LinkedIn.
Yeah, something tells me that you don't quite agree with that line of reasoning.
Yeah, duh. I did a quick test of some folks recently that were talking about LinkedIn. I asked how many of them had their boss and 50% of their coworkers in their LinkedIn or Plaxo or whatever database. None did. And they were completely reasonable in their answer. They all said, look, I see them every day. Why do I need to do that? Or they're in the office database, right? Plaxo or LinkedIn, they're all for external stuff. Mm. But it's easy for folks to think about the unthinkable possibility of a layoff and then somehow dismiss contact information. Well, hey, lucky me, I have LinkedIn.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. But it really won't help.
Yeah, so. It won't. It's not comprehensive. It is not, in my experience, look, we like it. It's great. Use it. Don't kid yourself that it is all the people that you want to be able to stay in contact with. Now, look, please don't send us an email with the incredibly high number of contacts you have in LinkedIn. We're neither impressed nor unimpressed. It simply is not for most people, and we're trying to reach most people. It's not for most people the place where all of their contacts are, because very few people have a place where all of their contacts are. So,
yeah, okay, maybe. What about cell phones? Lots of folks store contact information there.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, some of those phones are from their company.
Okay, but we assume folks know better than that.
Bad assumption. I mean, this happens all the time. I mean, the entire layoff trauma is built on a set of assumptions that starts with, it won't happen to me, and then after that says, well, if it does, I'll have time, or if I don't have a lot of time, I'll be able to do what I need to do, or I'll be able to get at it some other way. And we find that those dominoes fall and fall and fall and fall, and then somebody realizes, dang, with a couple of hours, a couple of months ago, even if it was only a couple of months old, I would have all this stuff printed out, emails, phone numbers, all that sort of stuff, and it'd be a no-brainer. But they made a bunch of assumptions. The assumptions were all wrong, and then they're left holding the bag.
Okay. Oh, what about personal phones?
Oh, okay. Technically, it's a solution, but I feel like it's a weak one. Knowing someone's cell number, which is what people tend to have in their cell phones, isn't all that great in terms of complete as far as information goes about that person. Do you remember their spouse's name? I mean, I actually pay attention to people. It's my job. And I still forget spouses' names. I'm sure somebody will write and say, no, I have a perfect memory and I remember everybody's spouse's names. Well, lucky you, but the fact is the vast majority of people don't. Who was it? I talked to somebody just recently, said they had a great relationship with somebody. And I said, okay, do you know their kids' names? And she said, no. I said, well, okay, there it is. You don't know them all that well. If you know me well, you know my kids' names. So, do you know their kids' names? Do you know their title, their office number, their office address, their home address? I doubt it.
Yeah, okay, so we're talking about contact information here. We're not talking about name and phone number. We're talking about a lot more because obviously, and under these conditions, if you're laid off or terminated, you're going to want a lot more, right?
Yeah. Imagine that you've got the contact information. You say, hey, look, I got laid off, but you weren't expecting it. You weren't prepared. So you have to call your friend and ask them to give you all of their contact information again. That is not what you want to spend your time on your phone doing. A friend of mine, you know, when something like this happens, she says, ugh. Yeah. You know, and that's really what it is. It's a bad way to start the first conversation you have with a friend of yours because of a layoff.
Yeah, that's a big ugh. So what's the metric here?
Okay, let's make everybody angry by showing them how not ready they are for this inoculation step. This is why I put it first. The standard is 100 contacts printed at home. Names, physical address, email address, phone number. One is required, but two is smart. And family names as well, spouse and kids. Current within 180 days.
Okay, I think that's measurable.
That'll make some people angry, won't it?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And now there are people who say, you know, I don't know 100 people. Okay, fine. Be complete with your list, and then I'll tell you, you're not working hard enough on building your network. If you don't know 100 people, my guess is the circle that you do know is pretty tightly tied either to your industry or geography in a way that will limit your ability to be effective in a job search after a layoff. Or for that matter, and of course, I assume everybody understands this, we say layoff, that's a nice way, but it could also be termination. This works equally well in the event of a termination.
Good. Okay. Yeah. That's a good goal. Yeah. Somebody has 25, then their first goal, they print out 25. They have it at home.
They got 25.
And then they go build it to 100. That's their first task.
Yeah. Exactly. And maybe it's just, look, maybe it's 5 a month, right? Or maybe it's 10 a month. And we've put out the cast, haven't we, about I know we've talked about it at a conference, with the idea of a recommendation for the effective executive or manager's week includes one network building lunch a week.
Sure. Oh, right? Sure. I'm sure we've put that out. Yeah.
That's one person. I mean, that's 50 a year if you do one a week.
Yeah. Then 100 becomes simple.
Simple. And yeah.
Unless you get laid off, you know, more than once every 2 years. So
yeah.
And if that's the case, then you need to make some different choices or look at yourself in the mirror. Yeah. Okay. All right, folks. There you go. Part one of two for the annual layoff immunization. We'll finish this up next week. In the meantime, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, whatever, feel free to join us in the discussion forums, www.managertools.com/forums. Hope to see you there. All right, folks. We'll see you next week. So long.